Very thankful to be here tonight. I enjoyed the first lesson very much. And Brother Brad said he was thankful that he got to go first. And I want you all to understand that that was not just by accident that that happened. Brother, I'm going last because the committee let Brother Wayne Strode pick who went last. And I have reason to believe that, because when I was pastor here, and we would have the one Sunday evening a month where we would have singing, Brother Strode was really good about putting together the singings. And what he would do is he would generally have a singing group, and then he would ask different members of the church to also sing while the group took a break or something like that. So I remember this one particular singing night, Brother Strode asked me at the beginning of service, he said, "Would you like to do a song tonight?" I said, "Well, I will if you want me to." And he said, "Oh, good, you'll be last." And so it's always good to know where you stand. I appreciate the opportunity once again tonight that has been given to me to bring before you a lesson. And I'm going to ask for your patience because I have somewhat of a lengthy introduction. And I think that probably for a while, the committee's probably going to be persuaded that I completely missed the point. But I promise you, by the help of the Lord, I'll get there. I want to start with something that took place August 9th, 1788, in Malden, Massachusetts. There was a child born, a boy, and he was named after his dad, and they named him Adoniram Judson. He died April 12th, 1850, at the age of 61, in the part of the Indian Ocean that's known as the Bay of Bengal. His body was buried at sea. Brother Judson spent almost all of his ministry doing foreign mission work. Most of the years that he did this work was in Burma. During his missionary work there, he was a brilliant man. He translated the Bible into the Burmese language for the people there. He experienced a lot of loss. He outlived two wives and five children. During his years of foreign mission work, he was physically persecuted, wrongfully imprisoned, suffered illnesses from the climate that he was in. But when you read about his life, it becomes really obvious that he never stopped loving the Lord. He never stopped loving the cause of Christ and was always trying to advance it. And he never stopped loving lost souls. After 33 years of foreign mission work, he came back to America for about a year. And while he was back in America, he met the lady that would become his third wife. As I said, he had already outlived two wives. And during that time, they got married and then went back overseas. But during that time, while he was here, they went to a service. They went and they heard a Congregationalist preacher preach. In fact, it was the preacher who had preached at his ordination years before when he was a young man. And so this older preacher preached that service. And Brother Adoniram, he sat up on the stage with him. And after the sermon, they gave way to him, and he spoke briefly. And that brings me to what I have recorded at the beginning of the lesson. This is taken from a book called To the Golden Shore. I even gave the page numbers there. But this is what it says. It says, after the sermon he had spoken for some 15 minutes with singular simplicity of the love of the Savior, what he had done for us, and what we owe to him. As he sat down, it was evident, even to the most unobservant eye, that most of the listeners were disappointed. After the exercises were over, several persons inquired of me frankly why Dr. Judson had not talked of something else, why he had not told a story on the way home. I mentioned the subject to him. This is that lady talking to him. Why? He asked. Why? What did they want? He inquired. I presented the most interesting subject in the world, to the best of my ability. And the response was, but they wanted something different. A story. And he said, well, I am sure that I gave them a story, the most thrilling one that can be conceived of. But they had heard it before. They wanted something new of a man who had just come from the Antipodes. And he said, then I am glad they have it to say that a man coming from the Antipodes had nothing better to tell them than the wondrous story of Jesus' dying love. Now, I want to tell you why that I started with that. In preparing the lesson, I spent several days and I looked at a lot of verses of Scripture, and I, you know, like I always tried to do, I was trying to put things in order and put the lesson together and talking to the Lord and trying to, you know, seek God's leadership in that. And then there was a day in my study when suddenly the Lord was just there in a great way. And I began to think about the great excitement of what I had been asked to present in the Winter Bible Study this year. And I can really relate from what the Lord was saying to me in that moment. I can really relate and was able to relate from that point on to how Brother Judson felt that night when he heard that. And, you know, listen, we serve a God that left heaven and came to this world and took up on him the form of flesh and lived here as a man. And he was so holy and so pure that he could take our sins upon him and atone for our sins. Brother Brad already made mention of that. He was so powerful that when they took his lifeless body and laid it in a tomb, that on the time, the exact time that he had scheduled, he was able to just get up and be alive again. And let me tell you something, I feel like this. I feel like that perhaps we have come to the place as God's people that we are not as excited about that anymore as we ought to be. I mean, I believe that when he heard that people were disappointed in what he had said, that he felt like that they should have been anything but disappointed. They should have been excited once again to hear about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear about how that he paid the sacrifice for us, how that he became the propitiation for our sins. We ought to be excited tonight about what we are talking about. But I'm not sure that we are. Not nearly like we ought to be. Now, I'm just telling you what the Lord put on my heart. I believe that we need to spend more time, perhaps, in prayer, in meditation, in thankfulness for what God really did in order for us to be saved. As Brother Brad mentioned in the lesson, without his death, there would be no resurrection. It's all important. Everything he did in coming into this world, he did for us. He did all that he did to make a way for us to be saved. And when we talk about, you know, perhaps we have slipped into the attitude that those people had there when he was talking to them that night, when he was just presenting to them a simple message of the gospel. Perhaps we have maybe become like they have. Perhaps we think when we hear about the crucifixion of Christ, when we hear about the burial of Christ, when we hear about the resurrection of Christ, listen, if we have come to the place where we just, when we hear that and we just think, well, we've heard that before, then, you know, I'll just be honest with you. I think the best thing to do right now would just be to stop everything and we'll just get down here and pray and ask God to restore us to what we ought to be. Because I really do. I believe that we are just not as excited as we really ought to be as a people. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I love this verse. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And have the keys of hell and of death. Can I, Brother Jason, can I get some water? Jesus, when he rose from the dead, and I've got the scripture, I knew that Brother Brad and I, as he said also, that we would cover a lot of the same scripture, and I've got much of that in my lesson. But when Jesus rose from the dead, and he appeared to all of those that he did, and he proved himself alive by many infallible proofs, that wasn't the end of it. He ascended back to heaven, and he took up his abode there at the right hand of God, and he is still alive. He's still alive. And as Brother Brad said, in our lives, we experience that he's still alive. In John chapter 20, in verses 19 and 20, the Lord had risen, and it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, Even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins, thank you, ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus gave him all the evidence he needed, didn't he? For him to believe. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus said, that's a great faith. Thomas believed because of what he had seen. I believe today, as it's already been said, I believe that Jesus resurrected from the dead. I believe he conquered death. He got up, his dead, lifeless body laid there in that tomb for exactly the amount of time that it was planned. And then he said, time to get up. And he rose from the dead. And I've not seen the wounds. I've not seen the wounds in his hands. I've not seen the scars that he suffered. But I believe with all my heart that he rose from the dead. And he has proven that, as far as I'm concerned, he has proven that to me in his word and in my heart. Thomas didn't believe when he was first told of the Lord's resurrection. He didn't believe. He said he would have to see in order to believe. John chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. When you go back to the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, there's some that are saying you're, John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, some saying you're one of the prophets. And he wanted to know, who do you say that I am? And the Apostle Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Bible tells us from that time forth, Jesus began to show them what he was going to face. He began to tell them how he was going to go into Jerusalem. He was going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. They were going to put him to death, and that he was going to raise again the third day. And I believe especially that last part, they didn't even hear. Because the Apostle Peter actually rebuked the Lord Jesus and said, be that far from thee. And it seems to me that they would have had a different attitude if they would have really listened to what he was saying. that he was going to be put to death, but that he wasn't going to stay dead. He was going to be put to death, and he was going to rise from the dead, but they didn't, I don't think they really listened to anything that he was saying. And honestly, if they would have, they wouldn't have been surprised at all that he rose from the dead, would they? Because he told them he was going to do that. He told them that he would. Acts chapter 1, the first three verses, says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 27. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And I'm going to get back to this, Lord willing. But as Brother Brad said at the end of his lesson, the title I was given was "Jesus' Resurrection is Proof that He is the Only Sacrifice Acceptable to God for the Atonement of Sin." Well, I believe that. You believe that, don't you? That his resurrection was proof of that? I certainly do. But I'm going to tell you something else that I believe. I believe there were things that happened before his resurrection. I believe there were things that happened before he had ever gone to the grave, if people would have listened and believed, that gave great evidence that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that was sent, that he was the one that was acceptable to God for the remission of sins. His resurrection certainly proved that, but so did things that took place, even as far as I'm concerned, even before he went to the cross. How about the voice? How about the voice of God speaking out from heaven? As Brother Brad said, some people couldn't discern what it was. Some thought it had thundered. But at his baptism, God spoke out from heaven in an audible voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I believe that there was much prophecy. If people, you know, would have believed and understood the prophecy, there was prophecy in the Old Testament. The prophets foretold of the fact that he was the only sacrifice acceptable to God for the atonement of our sins. There was one thing in particular that I'll get to here perhaps towards the end. But I want to, I want you to notice, I made note of this, that like it was when the Lord was baptized, the scriptures speak of the involvement of all three persons of the Godhead when it comes to the resurrection of Christ. The Father raised him from the dead. The Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. And Jesus raised himself from the dead. And there's scriptures that tell us all of those things. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And that's just one of the verses. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said this to the Jews, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. But if the spirit of him, capital S, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verses 3 through 8. Paul wrote and said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. I preached just recently at Lyons about the Apostle Paul, the way that he was persecuting the church. And as he journeyed there towards Damascus, Jesus appeared to him. And he asked him, why do you persecute me? And I didn't intend to say this at all, but I'm going to. God's people through the years have been persecuted. They were being persecuted. We read about their persecution in the days of in the scriptures. We read about their persecutions in other church history that has been written. I read to you earlier how that Adoniram Judson there in Burma was physically persecuted. But listen, when the people of God were being persecuted, there was something far greater being done than what was being done to the people of God. They were persecuting Christ. Christ himself. I love that he said, what he said to Paul, why are you persecuting me? Well, he was out of reach, wasn't he? He had already been to the cross and resurrected and was in heaven with God, and they couldn't touch his body. They were persecuting his people. I believe he took it very personally. In the fourth chapter of Romans, in connection with what Paul said there about what he had preached, how that Christ died, how that he rose again, Romans chapter 4, verse 25 tells us that he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we're going to look at some things talking about the accomplishments of the resurrection of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Aren't you glad to be saved? I mean, who am I, as the song says, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? But he did. He died for us, and we're so unworthy of that, so undeserving of what he did. He was delivered for our offenses. He suffered because of us. And he raised from the dead. He arose victorious from the dead. And one of these days, if I die before the Lord's return, one of these days, they're going to lay this body aside in death. I'm going to depart this temple one day, probably before too much longer. I'm going to leave this body behind, and it'll be laid aside in death too, but it'll rest in hope of a better resurrection because of Christ being the first fruits of them. He has begotten us unto a lively hope. And to get back to what I was saying earlier, and I don't want you to think that I'm just talking to you. I'm concerned about myself too. But we're alive. We are alive. We are spiritually alive. Brother Wayne Strode, we've been made alive forever through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has gotten us, he has begotten us again unto a lively hope, and may God help us to act like it. Gotten awfully quiet in the church, hasn't it? Used to hear about the things of Christ spoken of. I remember this when I was a boy. I remember preachers preaching about these things, preaching about how that Jesus died for our sins and how that he rose from the dead. And I'm telling you, it would get next to God's people and they would begin to shout and rejoice when they thought of those things. And it just seems like that those things are disappearing from our ranks. May God help us to act like we have a lively hope. But we can't manufacture that ourselves. But I sure believe that God can bring it back. And I'm going to tell you the exact reason that I harp on that was because when I was a boy in the midst of God's people and they would get tore up like that, it would just make me all that much more concerned about my soul. I mean, it had a profound effect upon me. And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe today that lost people can sit among God's people and be way too comfortable. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be that way. When they're among us, if we're where we really ought to be with God, they're going to feel that much more condemned. I know I did. I experienced that. You can say I'm way off the subject, and I guess you're right. That's all right. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus, after he had been crucified and risen from the dead, he appeared to the 11 and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Luke chapter 3. In verses 21 and 22, it says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I'm well pleased. I'd already mentioned that, had that written down towards the end of the lesson. I've got a couple of more places. Almost out of time. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 29 says, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And last, in Matthew chapter 27, now, there was something amazing that happened at the crucifixion that I believe, as far as I'm concerned, was great evidence that he was indeed the one that God sent. Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 51. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now, I understand this, and I believe that those who try to serve as pastors understand this. There's a lot of different things that we have to preach. There's a lot of different things, if you attend church like you should, there's a lot of different things you're going to hear preached. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't think we should ever grow weary of hearing the simple gospel message of Christ. And may God help us to never take the attitude, well, we've heard that before. It ought to bless us. It ought to excite us, no matter how often that we hear it. I mean, that's the essence of what we're about, right? As Brother Brad pointed out, without the resurrection, everything we do is in vain. We'd still be lost. And without his crucifixion, there would have been no resurrection. So thank the Lord for what he did for us. Thank you for your attention.